Well, Dr. Coles, to order the facility programs and fees, something needs to parks for Monday, January 13th at 4 p.m. It's 11 after 4. Yeah. And to the roll call. I don't have the list of everyone to. Thank you. Gary Bryce.
Present.
Bob Dye.
Here.
Mitchell Knight.
Here.
Rob Lewis. I am chair, so I am here.
No, two members are excused.
So McDonald and Lisa are excused and Saito.
He's not on the
He's not here. That's roll call. Next item is the approval of the October 7th facility program fees meeting minutes.
I'll move the roll.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Okay. There's no discussion, and I imagine there's no objection. I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Since there are no objections, then the motion passes by unanimous consent. Next item is public comment. There are no speakers. Public comment. Okay. Yes. Disclosures and recusals. Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. That would be item number six. The request from staff to approve the friends rules and guidelines. There is one individual who's support this item, but and wishes to speak. Michael Rui.
Ready for maybe for the presentation, or are you going to be?
I presented it last time.
Okay,
so it's
I'm sorry.
Well
I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead. First of all, well owner who I'm a member of, and I hear the knowledge of this president, Marie Jacobson. It's, I want to make a comment. It's much improved since the first Nasty requirements have been one of the best practices. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. But we do have some questions, probably of John. While Warner has been recognized as a friend group for over 10 years, will the existing approved and or recognized friends group now have to reapply to work with park commissioners, or are we grandfathered?
I think grandfather.
You think?
Yes.
I'd like to see that in the final, when you mobilize the resolution, say that I'm subject to the existing one to the grandfather. It doesn't have to be in range in this, but I think it would be a good as part of the
resolution. Seems reasonable. I don't have that in there. It's about formation.
It's got a little scary trying to read between the lines on that.
And it doesn't have a signature document, so it's a guideline. It's not a contract, it's a guideline.
Pens? There's lots of pens on the table. Sorry,
I would clarify this is not an application, this
right.
is guidelines.
These are just guidelines, they're not associated with.
But it said at the beginning, it talks about. Application, and I didn't know that. And then that would have to go backwards. Everybody that's would have to reapply, just to really come out and see.
But that's talk to me. You're looking on the first page. I assume I was referring to the first page, and that's how to form a group, which is to me instructive of new groups forming, not existing groups.
And that's how I learned it, but it could be interpreted as. We're all new groups starting over again.
It does not actually. It just says how to form a friends group. And if you are a friends group and you've already applied, then it's a moot.
Well, back in the day, it wasn't an application like you have now. It was an informal approval. All the older groups, like Friends of Cherokee Marsh, Friends of Start with a Creek, and you name them all, they were pre a lot of this guidelines.
Yeah.
And they didn't go to the park commission to their approval.
That has Wildwater submitted an application for approval?
We've been probably in existence for 15 years.
They have not.
I'm not sure. Would you know?
There was no process.
Yeah,
before
this is
like
for newer groups, it's kind of what we're moving toward.
So I guess following up on that idea, then the question would be, this is suggesting that there's going to be a formal approval by the park commission. So is something going to go, does the park commission currently, has the park commission currently formalized any kind of agreements with existing groups? And if not, is that something that staff ought to do and inform the existing groups so that that would answer the question?
Well, what I'd like to see is staff could come up with a list of all the groups that they've been working with and say they're approved.
Yeah.
Without having to go to the formal application.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
so
they have enough paperwork to go through without having to.
Correct.
Yeah. Over again. Right. Nothing. John doesn't agree.
Yeah. No. I think you're raising an interesting question. I mean, this is guidelines going forward. So if there's going to be a formal process where the park commission is formally recognizing groups, and then if this is codifying the existing practice of annual reports and stuff like that, that's going to be there. There might want to be something formalized with the commission with existing groups.
That's a great idea. I think the staff would.
That would be different than this particular item.
Yeah,
but that's
staff could present a list of all the current groups and have the park commission formalize them without the groups having to go through the process. That's a great idea.
Are they out there on the website now? I've not looked.
I'm not familiar. Sure,
not a big presence, but they're listed on in a spot that's on the volunteer
some
page. There's some friends groups that we work with, and they're listed out. So,
thanks for bringing that up. Anyway,
it's
that was the biggest concern. Reporting the Ward volunteer activity is dipping on from beginning 2025. Is that the one that? We just pulled out.
Yes. That might change the online form though slightly. It's mostly hours and reporting activities.
And then how is that accessed right now? You send it to the group or
mm-hmm.
And so if the group leadership changes, we may not know who it was.
Well, I'll have to find out who.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, make sure.
That was a question I had, and I couldn't find it online.
Sure, it's not online. No.
Okay. And under reporting. The best practice in the groups is talks about reporting and documentation under 5E. And can this and the report of the parks be made the same or compatible to their various requirements? And under 5E, talk about reporting documentation.
Sure.
I want to make sure that we don't have to keep repeating ourselves under these forms.
It's a best practice. So yeah, work plans is mostly what I'm referring to there.
Okay.
So number E, not requiring the work plans, but certainly having, you know, good relations with our staff, reporting what's happening out there. A lot of that's already happening. It's just bringing that into.
I want to keep saying, John, is everybody to work with you. I'm trying to pick up.
No, that's it. Michael, are you asking that? Let me just ask a question. Are you saying that you don't want to report your work plan?
Oh no.
I don't understand.
We require what he wants, but we like to be. There's two different areas, and definitely we don't really turn in a work plan. We do it by each event, I think.
And some groups do, so that's why it's under best practice and not under a rule.
It's not a requirement.
It's not a requirement. We felt like some groups are up here and some groups are just starting out. They're not all able to kind of do everything. So
which is why I'm just making sure that it's not redundant what we're doing. Under disclaimer that says members of volunteer may be required to complete waivers before performing their volunteer work in city properties.
Can you tell us again which section you're on?
That's under disclaimer right at the bottom. I think
of what page?
Is that in the last page?
Can you reference the section and number, please?
There's no number in that one. And I have a question, staff. It says may be required to complete waivers. May is at the discretion of parks. When will parks require the waivers?
Before any work is going to be done on city property, all volunteers should be filling out waivers.
So instead of may, it's really a shell.
Yeah.
but a shell only under certain conditions.
I like it as may.
Would that make sense to elaborate that? Or to just, you're leaving it blank because the exact reasons may change?
The type of waiver could change. But I think members and volunteers, they maybe should be say shall, honestly, instead of me.
Because
according to our risk management, all volunteers should be filling out a work release waiver.
And you have to work on city property?
Yeah.
Oh, but you're using the word should.
And then,
because you're unsure about the
no, I'm saying they are to they ought to they should they will they are supposed to.
Okay, so
shall it should say shall actually probably yeah.
All
right. I shouldn't have known that.
that's
no problem. And on there's an online waiver volunteer work release form. Are you still going to do the current waiver sign up sheet that's available when you're in the field?
We will have printed QR codes that can be scanned.
No, everybody doesn't come with that kind of capability. They need paper.
Okay. Usually there's somebody on site with a phone. Logistically, the way it works is you scan a QR code and then you can hand that phone to somebody and it's a short thing to fill out.
Okay. We're in an area where a lot of people are on the poor side. And they're not necessarily tech savvy older people.
Yeah.
I personally, it'd be easier for everybody and less time consuming if they could sign the, like we have in the past, sign the printed sheet.
Think on that. There's new volunteer software as well, so I can think how that would all work.
Trouble all together. Sometimes software is not the way to work with volunteers.
But the city is moving that direction, though. Right? You have to understand that.
I find it hard to believe there'd be an event where nobody would have a cell phone on site.
I would not let them use my cell phone, for example. And I think that's the way people look at their cell phones. And my cell phone, not somebody else's, can use.
Would the enforcement person have a cell phone that could be used for that purpose?
If I was on site, I would use mine, yes.
Yeah.
But
quite often we don't have a coordinator with us when we do this work. I'm going off on the minute.
Quite honestly, I think moving forward, Al, it this doesn't really pertain to this, but it'll be a requirement that people fill out the work release prior to showing up on site.
That's a problem too, because we don't know if they're showing up until they show up.
But it becomes the responsibility of the groups doing work to meet the requirements that park sets, which means it becomes your responsibility with additional paperwork to meet the risk requirements, which means signing the waiver, which would mean printing out waivers in advance and having
that's
a folder of something.
That has been done.
Well, then.
But he says he doesn't want paperwork.
We would prefer not to have paperwork. However, if because of money issues or because of technology issues, you're not able to do the thing online, I'm sure that Parks can make something available to be printed so that you can bring certain sheets and have them filled out, and then we will collect them. Because one way or another, we need a waiver for each of your people working.
We've done that.
Okay, well, then that's the answer.
But he's saying,
the software's integrated. I'll have to check it out and see.
Somehow it's going to have to, there has to be a crossover.
Oh,
so whether it's software, he says it's not, it needs to be done.
And we've been doing that for years, but it's mostly been signing when you get there, the waiver.
Yes.
But the way it reads now is it's going to be electronic.
It doesn't read that way, actually.
Well,
it just says that a waiver must be completed. It doesn't say electronic or paper.
Good point.
Yeah. I'll work with groups on what's best
and
what
I'm
works
sure
for
you
each group.
I'm sure
best
you
way.
Yeah. Parks isn't going to like say you can't work if you haven't signed an electronic waiver.
You're gonna make
That's not how it's going to work.
Yeah. It's a question I'm asking them. Discussion right now.
Okay.
We've had, for example, we've had Skelton do different projects under our leadership, and we could have 20 middle school and high school kids that all signed the waiver. They didn't, that would be forever to have a little like, unless they show up, they don't know they're going to show up until they show up.
Yeah. Yeah. There are cases where paper works better.
Yeah.
It's just clearly it.
I prefer it to be more rare though. Moving forward,
we all
but
yeah. We all
and it will over time. It will over yeah. time. It will.
Right.
When volunteers know what to expect, they know safety things before they come. If they have registered online ahead of time, there's trainings that we can provide ahead of time. There's a lot of beneficial things on the volunteer end.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they can register ahead of time, but certainly there's going to be people that would
sure.
Decide.
Like we recruit neighbors, so we don't know what neighbors are going to show up.
Right.
That's another issue.
We did it.
To stir them up a bit. Anyway, I get to the bottom here. I'll go about the Pinterest form. That's for a new group, isn't it? We've got an online volunteer Pinterest form.
So the volunteer online interest form is currently in place for new volunteers. The system going forward will be different in about a couple months when we have a new software.
But that's for new groups, not. Or
that's for new volunteers.
Or individuals.
For individuals.
Okay. And down at the bottom, I've been doing it right outside while we're happy to work with staff and put many forms and process. Beyond what we have here, about having to change this one. And lastly, when it's finally approved, my current commission, I'd like to see a date for all the NGOs have dates. When they were last approved, so that when you're looking at a printed document, you know you're looking at the register. Just having it.
Well, that would be something to ask Parks Commission.
I think that's us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're never sure if you did a printout 2 years ago.
Sure.
You don't know if it's a printout.
It's very, very valid point.
Yeah. And NGO that has all this updated. But I'm sorry to take up your time, but I like it. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Yep. Appreciate your input.
I have a question for John, just perhaps. On the second page, under 5, you got 5 is recognition and appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And then next comes D and E. Should those be 6, 7 and then be renumbered from
mm-hmm.
from there to the end? Those
yes.
don't look like there's subparts of 5.
Yes.
It's just I think that was just a formatting thing.
The formatting.
May
oh,
have been
my
indented
apologies.
At one point and then
yep.
got.
My apologies.
Yeah,
you're right.
No problem.
I ignored that.
I didn't catch that. I didn't catch that and took up the paste from it.
Comments
earlier. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, we're going to have our annual holiday party tonight.
Right.
At our rec center.
Great.
That's a very good
part of our monthly meeting.
Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thank you. Listen, appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
And I recommend our people.
Okay.
Please.
But did you say support? So you're saying that's great.
Thank you.
All right. Michael raised some very interesting comments, and the one I think that is the most interesting is the idea about submitting applications and making maybe easier for the groups that we, the legacy groups that we have. And I didn't know if you're going to have all new groups submit formal applications, if it did or didn't make sense that Parks should have on file, and probably does, I don't know, the details about the legacy groups, including their mission goals, organizational structure, approach to mission, et cetera, et cetera. Because I wouldn't want that to just be held within institutional memory as well as
sure.
Even meetings, that it should be not codified, but written down somewhere. Whether that's something you ask each of the legacy groups to submit, or if it's something that Parks already knows and can have fill out their application for them, or I don't know, how would you imagine proceeding with that?
I would probably go back to them. Even if we had stuff on file, I'd still go back to each friend group just to maybe articulate the mission and goals to get it from
get
their
friends.
Yeah, get it right from them, just because it's been a few years since some documentation that we have for groups.
Right.
So
there may just still be that each group would have to fill out an application, but the approval process would become like all together for them. Or
yeah, I think so. I think that seems like a good way forward. At least so we have on file the groups that are, that are active and participating current. There's some groups that have just faded away over years too.
Sure.
And
some probably fade in and out.
Absolutely.
There
some are just
changes slightly. The goal
slightly. Yeah, just go along. What I could do is go back to the legacy groups or the grandfather group, whatever we want to call them, the existing groups, and get some of this information. But they wouldn't have to go to the Parks for approval. They would just have to send
it. It would just be
they could just FYI.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
I can do that.
All right. So that, Michael, that does involve a little bit of paperwork sharing, but it wouldn't mean that someone would have to come to a meeting just to get it approved when it's going to be approved automatically.
Exactly. For example, the legacy groups and practice mission get a fund approved so that we're all on the same board.
Right, that's what we're talking about.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Thanks
cool.
For indulging that question. Anyone else have any other questions?
I don't know.
I
know.
Do I have a motion?
I'll move approval of the Friends rules and guidelines.
As
amended.
Amended with the writing and the shall.
There's a small error on here. This does need to, so with your approval, it does need to go to a park commission. So you would recommend approval with the changes to the 212 CPC Park Commission.
Right.
Is what the action should be.
Do you want to restate the motion then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to restate the motion then?
No, it's just as Terrence said.
Okay.
I got it. I'll be back in the motion.
Is there any discussion? Or objection? Hearing no objection, it's by unanimous consent. Perfect.
Thank you.
That was a good discussion. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to item number 7, a request from staff to amend the 2025 Lakeside Office boardroom fees.
Yeah, so I'll talk about this. You have a nice long sheet. My apologies for giving you a nice long one, but I also have it on the screen highlighted in yellow, the item that we'll discuss here. Staff have, we've been working to try to get this room accessible to the public. We did have some fees that were approved back in October. We've done some further analysis on those fees, and we really want to recommend some changes to those fees. The big item you can see, I'll go to the board here, which you can look at on your big sheet here, down in this area here. So the big changes here is that we move, okay, let me back up.
your computer just went into sleep.
My computer didn't. All right. So above here, 25, you see what was approved on 9/11. So this is what we approved. Staff had further analysis. We'd like to make some changes to the fee. The big thing here is that we go from a block schedule to an hourly schedule. And this is to give more flexibility for community groups that want to use the space during the workday. So if they just have like a 1 hour meeting, we're not holding them to a 4 hour block of time. So it gives more flexibility. That's a big change between these two here, your weekday schedule here. And then on the weekends, we made some adjustments to this scheduling as well. We did some further analysis and comparative with Obrick and Warner Park, and we were way low here. So we do recommend increasing it just a tad bit. So with the comparative with Obrick and Warner, these fees here are about 50% less, and the original fees are even much less than that. So, for example, somebody wants to have a baby shower here in this room, you know, during the day, that's what it would cost them, which is more in alignment with sort of market rates. For a facility that doesn't have a staff person and is still sort of in the shape that this room is, staff just did some deeper diving to try to increase those fees just a little bit so they are they are more in alignment with what we're doing for other facilities because we were kind of way under when we initially had it approved. And we did do some small adjustment with some of the time, as you can see, from the 8, 9, 3 with the block scheduling too. So we just made some small updates. We also have matrix out. We're getting a lot of requests to the agencies that want to, you know, they're excited about being and using this space. And we've also matrixed out, you know, their use of space for free and things and the parameters around the Common Council want to use the space as well, city agencies, et cetera. We've also kind of triaged that out. There's in alignment with the fee, in conjunction with the fees that we have scheduled or proposed.
So, Terrence, just to clarify that these fees per hour or the weekend block fees are all in alignment with other rooms.
Correct. So this room holds 180 Oak Grove theater style. Obrick and Warner have spaces that hold 200. So we did some more analysis on kind of comparing those. We also recognize that those spaces also have a staff, like this room won't have a staff. This room also, you know, it's pretty dated from its original from the old medical society. It's not in the same condition that a Warner Park, even though we have the great view, it's still not, which is what sells this room. And so we just took half of that, which gives us room to build up to those facilities charts as this room is being remodeled over time.
Hmm.
So it gives us room to increase the fees over time to kind of get caught up with them. So.
Okay.
It was more rhyme and reason. I don't know if we dug as deep initially when we first approved them just because of the timeline, but staff did take a considerable amount of time to come up with that. Again, that's about half of what you would get at Warner or Obrick for a fee.
Has there been much use of the room?
Kevin, can you speak to the request at all?
How much use there's been?
There's a lot of weekday use. There's been a lot of trainings in here. I think there was a baby shower out there over the weekend. So there's been a lot.
We know that once
a lot of requests.
Yeah, we know that once this goes live, it's gonna. Yeah, I mean people are gonna.
People
are gonna book it. Which is, you know, why we need to make sure the fees are right, and we have a. You know, if we come in here, you know, we put a fee of $200 for a baby shower. I mean, we're way understanding the value of this room, which is kind of what it was.
And you were saying there's like, if someone rents this room out, there's no like staffing or anything.
Correct.
Like
so it doesn't come with a staff person like
yeah.
you get at Warner Overig. We have a process. They'd have access to the front. That door we actually have modified to where it'll we can lock it for the reservation. So you won't be able to access the rest of the building. You'll be able to access everything there. So they'll be able to self-direct their rental in a way. So that'll be how it's used until hopefully over time. If we can generate enough revenue from the rentals, we can pay like an attendant or something to be here with the rental. It's kind of what we hope to build up to over time.
Any other questions? All right, there's a motion.
Did you say?
I said I'll second.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes, I will make a motion to approve the request. It's the boardroom fees.
Yes, it's already been second.
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? Objections? Okay, this motion passes by an amendment. Okay. Right, item number eight, informational presentation of the 2024 fee modifications report.
So you should have it. I'm sorry, it's super small. I'm still working on like how to format this thing and where it's bigger. It's not picking up like five sheets of paper, but I'm gonna put it up on the on here. Maybe you can see it better, maybe not. But so we're required to submit to you a report of the fee modifications. Just a high-level overview, we have just a couple new ones that are on here. I think we added the Friends of Fort Park, which was new, that you guys approved last year. Also, the Millville Heights Community Association, but the remaining are typical fee modifications that we've had over the years, whose fees have kind of increased as the division-wide fees have increased. So nothing as far as anything abnormal from a fee perspective. Most are getting a 50% off fee. Some of the more historical ones that have been like 15, 20, 30 years, you'll see on there still have no fees, and we want to honor those partnerships for a good activation of the park and open space. But pretty typical. I can tell you what we're working on now. QDP, we're ready to, there's a couple athletic ones that are on here that we hope to roll into that program. We're also working a qualifying discounts program, which we hope to get rolling next month with some of these athletic ones that are on here. And we're also working on the events for, there's a couple events on here that would move into QDP as well, which is kind of our goal is to transfer some of these into that program to where it's a more equitable distribution of the of the fee. But this is a pretty typical year of fee modification with a couple new ones on it that we approved in the fall. Including cycle.
You did not say that.
That's all I have. If you guys have any questions about the fee modifications. And this will also go to Park Commission next month, should be.
It goes to Park Commission for what?
Yeah.
It's informational?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
This is the year end 2020.
That's just the 24. We're just required by the commission to report out on the fee modifications that the division has.
That was part of the program.
That was part of the program that was created, yeah.
So how many do you think you'll get off this list in one, two? You say two.
Four. One. I'm looking at that. Two. Three, four, five. I hope that we get off through the athletics round, and then we're still working on the events. So there's a couple of things. We're working on creating events, and that'll come back here once we get done with that. But
okay.
I think we're in good shape for
at least the third. This list will be.
We hope, yeah, we hope.
First, as it were.
That's what the plan is. We hope to happen.
That's cool. Right on. So that means five fewer fee modifications that this board would have to approve.
This is what we hope. Yeah, that's the plan. That's the whole plan with the QDP is that'd be five less fee plan, and you'd have to, well, this list reduces. It'll never, I don't think it'll go away in total because there'll be those little added in ones, you know, that we still have to address. But yeah, part of the idea of the QDP was to reduce.
Yeah.
This into a more systematic format.
That's kind of the whole point of this board, too.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Make ourselves
efficient.
Yeah. All right, so that would then be moving on to item number nine, the informational recreation services presentation.
Hi, everybody. My name is Tracy Hartley. I'm Petal's Recreation Services Coordinator with Madison Parks. Giving you some updates about winter fun because with the referendum passing, and we're all excited. We really have winter recreation, and the weather is cooperating. So,
yeah.
Let's take the room. Now we just need staff. Just that's kind of like how this could all make it happen. But besides myself, I have Shane Martin, who's my Products and Parks Program Coordinator and an Event Services Assistant. So, between my small and mighty team, you're making it happen. So our goal is always to have close to 40 to 50 attendants for winter recreation. We had 24 returning from last year and or from the pool that we shifted over, and we hired so far 14. And then between Shane and I, we just did a whole heck of a round of number interviews because we have a lot of our college students or high school kids that are gonna be, high school kids are back, but college students are gonna be going to the I. So we're gonna lose some of their support. So we hired more people, we have like 12 more. Tickets and higher. So that gives me my 50. So I think we did pretty good as long as the returns paperwork in and decides they're going to come work for us. So that's always a total, too. Go ahead, Kevin, shifting over. So, what I'm going to give you is an update on how long we've been open, how many days we've been open, what we have open for all the parks at this point, as far as the ones we're staffing. So, we did open Elburn in December because we had that good snow. So, basically, the shelter was open for 5 days. I should back up for a minute. If you are aware or not aware, our winter recreation hours are closed Mondays and Tuesdays. We've been doing that since COVID. They just couldn't get enough staff. Hopefully, maybe after this year, we'll be able to do it 7 days a week and be open for people to recreate. But we're open Wednesday to Friday from 4 to 8, and on Saturday from 12 to 8, and on Sunday 12 to 6. So those are our shelter rental hours and concessions. So with that being said, you'll probably see some numbers. You're probably like, why is that say this? But that'll explain what I just explained. So yeah, skiing was good for a little bit there. And then so 5 days are open for the shelter. And we got skating open eventually here. So the general rink and the hiking rink both have been open pretty close to so yeah.
Are they still making snow at Elmer?
We do not make snow anymore at Elmer Park. So whatever we get for natural snow is all we have to support the recreation. So thanks. Next. Tiny Park, drinking the cup. Everybody loves Tiny Park, just so you know. I can give you a little update from last weekend, Saturday. We had people inside the shelter snaked around just to get to the counter for rentals and concessions and outside the door. So that tells you we were busy. But we did get open on the 3rd this month. And so and the hockey boards are up, which is good. So that means the lagoon is open and the hockey. So no days in December, but 8 so far, and that includes this last weekend. So just get you an update. Yeah, it's pretty good skating. I was out there last Saturday, me and Emily went there, so fun. Byers Park, we do have both. We started with both the rinks open 6 days for in December with well, not necessarily 6 days, I guess pretty close, I think it was. The lagoon has wouldn't get open until January, but the general rink and the hockey rink were open, and now the hockey boards are up too. That's always a big thing we try to strive for because there's a lot of hockey players here. So still stays open for the shelter for 8. So, well, Daniel's golf course, believe it or not, we got 2 days open. This is always the one we put the bets on. When are we going to be open for Odana? Because Odana is the weekend one only. I should mention that too. Odana, their hours are different because we don't have light, and it's from 10 to 4 on Saturdays and Sundays. But we did have open 2 days so far, and now we just need some more snow. Dork Creek, that's the one everybody's kind of stoked about, excited about, but we do have an update as of January 6th. The shelter and everything is kind of up and running. We just need to get everything checked off the HVAC system. That's what I found online and talked to Mike, the person that's been kind of behind it. So I do have all the equipment ordered, received. I need to inventory it and sticker it up so people know it's our equipment. But we'd like to be open in February, but we'll see. I'm got some things to do with the shelter side of it once we can take some ownership of it in order for us to get things settled in and get our equipment over there. And then hopefully we can stamp it. We'll see. Watch for the ribbon cutting if we can make it happen.
Yeah, we're waiting for a certificate of occupancy.
That's what
so whenever we get that, we're able to legally move in. But there's an HVAC issues in the facility. So we're waiting on that to get resolved. And then we'll be moving in and offer program. But we're ready.
Yeah, we're ready. We have skis, boots, poles, and snowshoes that will be at that location. So, and that will be open on Saturdays and Sundays from 10 to 4 as well, because there's no lighting. But it'll be open.
It's a nice looking building.
It's beautiful.
It's nice. It's so
you're able
nice.
To take a tour of it. It's very similar to Tenney. If you haven't been to Tenney Park, there's a fireplace in there.
Oh.
There's some nice tables and just, yeah, it's just a very serene, it's really nice pictures area. So, yeah, so we'll see. We'll let you know if it gets open. Invite y'all. Okay. And that's us. There's M and I skating at Tenney. Told you I went there. There's my proof. And then Shane and I from last summer. And then, yeah, we look forward for a safe, memorable season. Yeah, I mean, just getting people out to recreate. That's our mission goal. Have a good time.
So this shelter is at the north parking lot?
Yeah, it's at the very end.
So the south edge of that parking lot?
So, yeah, you go into the parking lot and it's right.
Straight ahead.
Literally right
can't
there.
Tennis courts to the right.
Playgrounds on the left. Mm-hmm. Then you see it's East Johnson.
Right. You know, East Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tenney. I'm sorry. Yeah. We were talking about
Dork Creek.
On the far east side of Madison.
Yes,
so
I've been there.
You're that way.
Okay. This is what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know exactly where that is. You seem to be. Go down East Johnson and see all the lights and everybody skating. So, yeah. Event side of the house, I can pass it around, but we just had our kind of like snowshoe walk on Saturday at Warner, and we had 381 people come to go through the tea line and just go through the walk. We usually do snowshoes, but no snow, so we just people walked, which is fine. People came out, and then we started skating parties that we bring out from that Obrick. Last Friday night, we had like 52 people come, and this week it's going to be at Violet's. And that's nice. And then we're also partnering with Ella Leopold Nature Center for kind of like hike at Ella Leopold Nature Center with parks, and we usually draw about 800,000 people. So if you want to come out and get out there with their tea lights and go through the no snowshoes, probably because we don't have any snow, but very picturesque, very beautiful to go through Anna Taylor and to the Ella. So, questions?
Well,
I'm here for that.
Any questions?
No, we just need some snow.
I'll take this cold weather though. Let me tell you.
Cold is good.
I think ice is going to stay now.
Yeah.
Likely.
A lot of people are happy that Kenny's open. A lot of people are happy that the lagoons are available to skate on this year for sure. The exact ice locations, I didn't put anything about those, but we do have loaner skates, which are free skates for people to just borrow sitting over at Warner, Elbrick, and Westmoreland. People just go in and use them and spray them and put them back, kind of thing. So, we got two sites that we have that happening at. So, these are our older skates that we kind of sifted through the cycle. And so, those are just sitting in the booth for this to borrow. So, some other opportunities. Yeah. Well, have fun. Thanks. There's no doubt about it at parks, but I always say, Quinn Tinsy. All right. Mandatory fun, I call this. It's a good time. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Chris. Mitchell, I expect you to be somewhere. Yeah, Learn to Ice Fish is already closed with 25 people for fun.
You need to be glad.
Yeah, we've got a good
group. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you. Okay, item number 10, annual statement of interest due.
Just a reminder, we have 100% compliance, so we're all good here. So thank you.
Nice. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you for the reminder. Yeah. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, they always send their nice reminders. So but we everybody has filled those out, so we're all good.
Nice.
Motion to adjourn?
If.
Second.
Done.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let me know when that's all.
That was a good, quick session.